Miss, who is bringing us God's word later in the service, and also a big thank you to anyone who has contributed to this service. It's, you see me at the front, you see Glenys at the front, but there's lots of people doing other things as well. So thank you all. Let us pray. We praise you, Lord, that you are the maker of heaven and earth. You are all-powerful, greater than all the wonders of your creation. As the psalmist says, we sing for joy at the works of your hands. Creator of the blazing sun and the moon that reflects its light, may we also reflect your radiance today and every day. Lord, forgive us when we have allowed our daily tasks to divert us and get in the way of spending time with you and reading your word. Forgive us when we have not tried to understand your ways, but have forged ahead with our own plans. Forgive us when we have created more problems for ourselves by simply not asking you for guidance first and then listening to it. We are sorry, Lord. We thank you that wherever we are, whatever situation we find ourselves in, you are with us. At school, at home, at work, in the car, out for a walk, your love surrounds us. Help us to share that love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. We join together to say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll now take up the offertory. Now today, as I said before, we're focusing on Psalm 91 and Psalm 92. And in Psalm 91, the psalmist talks about a refuge. What do you understand that word to mean? What does that mean to you when I say the word refuge? Safe place. Anything else? Shelter. Yeah, it's a good one. And I've got some pictures of various objects of refuge here, which will go up on the screen, hopefully. Okay. So the first one. I hope you can see what that is. What is it?
Tent.
A tent. So what does a tent protect us from? Harrison. The rain. Yeah, see, he put his hand up because he's, you know, we're used to being at school, isn't he? The rain, yes. And what else can it protect us from, actually?
Wind.
The wind.
Sun.
The sun.
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes. Yeah, I'm thinking like wild animals as well, maybe. The cold, you know, if you're out camping, if you're foolish enough to go out camping in the wintertime. So a tent can provide a lot of protection. Next picture, please. We need, well, actually, an umbrella is useless today, isn't it, to be honest? But what does an umbrella protect us from? Harrison? The rain. Yes, the rain. And the sun, yeah. It can also be a shade in the sun. Next one. Shade, a nice shady place on a hot, sunny day. Or if you get caught in the rain and you're out walking, maybe a tree like that would actually protect you from the rain as well. So a place of shelter. The next one's a bit different. How does the Bible protect us? What do we find in the Bible?
Guidance.
Anything else?
Solace.
Sorry? Solace. Solace. Yes. God's word. God's word. Advice on how to live. Stories about Jesus. So we can find lots of things in the Bible. It's not perhaps a physical protection from the elements, but much more important, it's a shelter for us. It's a safe place. In lots of places in the Bible, it says, the Lord is our shelter and our shield. He is the rock on which we build our life. Now, we're all going to face trials. We all have illnesses, bereavements in our life. But we can turn to God as our shelter, as our refuge. He is our ultimate refuge and strength. And I'm just going to read this from Psalms now, Psalm 91. The beginning, it says, those who focus their faith on God, who find their security in him, do not have to live in fear. They are not left untouched by the tempests of this life, and they may be wounded by the onslaughts of evil. But their great God does not leave them to suffer these things alone. The Lord cares for his own and delivers them, even in the midst of the conflicts that plague them. And when I was reading that this morning, I was thinking about the film last night. We watched The Shack last night, and that was a big point in that in the middle of all the torment and trouble, God, we may not understand why God allows these things to happen, but he never leaves us to suffer alone. Amen. And we will now have a reading from Psalm 91.
Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection.
Thank you, Jean. That's just the first four verses. Too many papers up here. I want us to try learning this, the first four verses. I'm sucking a sweet. So, I'm going to read it, then you're going to read it, verse at a time. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Your turn.
Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
This, I declare, is about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him.
This I declare.
rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease.
For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease.
He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection.
He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor
and protection.
Verses 5 to 7. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you.
We're going to sing In the Name of Jesus, because that's where everything comes from God and his Son, Jesus. So, In the Name of Jesus, 818. Thank you. Stand to sing. We're carrying on.
And 9 to 12. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Thank you, Lord, for this precious reading.
We want the next verses, please, Sue. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. There are an awful lot of promises in that psalm we have just read. And it's a bit like having money in the bank, although that's not a good analogy in a way. But when your bills come in, it's good to have money in the bank, isn't it? And go and be able to pay them and sort them out and not feel under pressure and stressed. And really, what I want us to really get hold of today is that if we declare the word and believe the word, it works for us. But I have only, over the last few years, realized that declaring, saying it out loud, even on your own, say it out loud. It brings God's word into the atmosphere. That's where Satan reigns, doesn't he? All over this world he's reigning. We want to knock him down. And every time we declare the word, when we feel stressed or we've got a problem, it's like punching him out and he's on the floor and we're standing. And so that's what my main aim is, to get to you today, because I have learned it works. It really works. And if we just read the Bible and don't speak it out loud, so we're both speaking it, hearing it, and believing in it, you've got to do all three, really we're just doing a reading exercise. There's a big difference between declaring with faith, a big, big difference. If at any time, by the way, you can't hear me, just wave at me. So if I see a waving hand, I'll try and make my voice louder. So let's look at these. We've already, thanks to Diane, had a bit of thought about shelters. And then there's finding rest. I know some days I've had so much on my plate to do, on my list to do. I thought, I've got to sit down and be with the Lord for at least 15 minutes before I can carry on. And I do find if I take time out, even 10 or 15 minutes, and let the Holy Spirit give me some songs, or I open my Bible and look at some scriptures, I am re-energized, totally re-energized, much better than any pet drink or anything else on the market. This word gives you strength. It refreshes you. But you've got to declare it, and you've got to believe it, and you've got to trust it, all of which we found in those early verses. And shield you with his wings. Now, what do you think of when you hear wings?
Chicken.
Put a hand up so I can ask one at a time. Yes, Joan?
Chicken.
A chicken? A hen, because we've got that lovely verse about Jesus saying to Israel when he was near crucifixion time, I wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks. So those are wings, aren't they? Any other thoughts about wings? Yes, Katie?
Warmth,
yeah. It feels cozy if you can imagine being under loads of feathers. I've recently got, it's a huge long scarf. I thought it was too huge, too long for me. But I just couldn't resist it. It was in the sale and I got it for £11. And it is so cozy. I even wear it if I'm chilly at home. I wrap it round and round and it drapes down. It's like a coat and a scarf all in one. But it's so soft, it's so nice, and it is so, so warm. Yes. Anything else with the wings?
Safety.
Yes?
Safety.
Safety. Brenda, was your...
Strength like the eagle.
Yes, the eagle's a whole different thing to a chicken, isn't he? He's strong, he's powerful, and he just doesn't even flap his wings, does he? Like the chicken squawking. He just soars above the wind updrafts, as it were. And then it says something the opposite. His faithful promises are your armour and protection. Now, that's hard, that's strong. The Roman shields, well, if I'd been standing behind a Roman shield, you wouldn't see me, I'm sure, because I'd be there and the shield would be up and around me. I'd be right behind it. But it was effective. If a spear came at you, it wouldn't kill you. And you imagine all other kinds of armour that we know once existed, not just because the Romans had a lot of bare bits, didn't they? They had sandals and their knees and thighs were exposed and all the rest. But if we think of some of the medieval armour, it covers everything, even your face and the lot. So if they were doing that jousting, no one would knock you off your horse. Or they might knock you off your horse, but you would not be injured behind there. So we've got feathers, we've got wings, and we've got strong armour being referred to. And what is our armour? What does it say? What do you remember it saying? It was something in the word, his faithful what? Promises. His faithful promises are your armour and protection. I'm looking at mine and it was slightly different. I'm looking at verse 4. You got it?
Yeah,
armour and protection, yes. So faithful promises are more than words on the page. They're more than words coming out of your mouth. They are protection. And if Satan's hearing the word of God, we know that he will leave. He hates to hear the word of God. He hates to hear us praising. So because of all that, verse 5, I'm on to now, it says, don't be afraid. How many of you remember being frightened as a child at night in the darkness? Any? Because me, yes. I used to have a load of coats and dressing gowns on the cupboard, and as I looked at them, they became spooky things. And the stupid thing is, as many children do, I just used to put covers over my head. What on earth did I think that was protection of? But I felt safer underneath the blankets than looking around the dark room creating all these terrifying images. So darkness can be really frightening. And it says terrors of the night. Yeah, I'm sure Ukraine are feeling the terrors of the night and all that happens over in their country. But it says don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then, of course, the arrow in those days when they fought with such things. But in my version, it says, fear the dangers of the day. So that's arrows, but any dangers. Don't feel afraid. How many of you have felt afraid at different times in your life? Definitely. Definitely. But do not be afraid, nor fear dangers of the day. And what else does it promise in verse 6? What's mentioned there?
Disease.
And we know all about disease now, don't we? And the plague of it, how easy it is to catch it, how easy it is to succumb to it and end up in hospital, or worse, your life is ended by it. But we're told not to fear it, not dread it. And there might be other just disasters that strike at any time, even the middle of the day. And again, Ukraine, I'm sure, is experiencing that whatever time of the day or night it is. And the promise there in verse 7, which is hard to conceive, I think, 1,000, supposing you were there with 1,000 falling down beside you, you'd pretty much think I'm going to be next or something. But we're told no, 1,000 can fall at your side and you'll stay standing. Now, I was trying to remember the name of that chap in the war film we saw quite a while ago. I've got it written down somewhere, but I couldn't find it this morning when I was looking. He went into the army, the American army, but he did not want to have a weapon. He didn't want to kill anybody. And they when they realized that, they said, well, why have you come to the army? And he said, a mistake had happened. He'd signed up to be a medic, and something had gone wrong with the paperwork, as often it does, and he's ended up being trained as a soldier and training with his... I don't want to touch a gun, he says. So he has a load of problems. They're trying to court-martial him and all sorts, kick him out. But fortunately, his dad had been in a previous war and knew the top guy who was at the court-martial, and he demanded to go into the room. They said, you can't go in there. He said, I am going in there. And he just went in the room and he said, I want to speak to, I don't know if it was Brigadier, I can't remember his official title. And after a chat with him, because he was the top guy, everything stopped. And he was allowed, we're giving you permission, to go into battle with no weapon. Now, he wasn't meant to be going into battle, but that's how they compromised. You can stay, you can be in the army, but you won't have to fire a weapon, but you will have to go into battle. And he was a Christian man. His family was Christian. He'd been a Christian since a child. And they made fun of him. They beat him up. They were horrible to him. Anyway, come the day they had to go to this awful place where the Americans were fighting, thousands had died there because they had to go up this huge precipice cliff and break out on top. And what they did not know is that the Japanese had entrenched themselves, but they dug all these tunnels so they could pop out in all sorts of places and kill the soldiers. That's why they were so successful. Anyway, came the day that he had to go up with his comrades, and they all got shot about and wounded, and they were all falling around behind him. But he thought, I must get them down over the cliff to get medical help. And at first he was crawling along the floor and dragging them and doing a special tying knot that he'd made and so he could lower them safely. And then he realized, I believe God is protecting me. So he just stood up and walked to them and made it a lot easier, carrying them on his back. And he saved loads of people. down below the cliff, unbeknownst to the guy in charge, he thinks his whole platoon has been wiped out. And then some news comes to him and he said, go and look in the medical tent. And there's all these injured people. How did you get here? How did you get there? And it was this guy's name that was mentioned. And boy, did he have authority with that group afterwards. The top notch, get on the old thing they used to communicate. Why haven't you gone up and started fighting? We're waiting for this chap to pray for us, and we're not going anywhere till he's prayed for us. And that was the kind of authority he'd been given by the Lord for faithfulness to Christian values. So God can protect you when it looks like it's not possible at all. So though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 dying around you, that won't touch you. Okay, we're at verse 7. Now we're going to sing, sorry. Ooh, where are we? I've got two things, 7, 7, 7. In the name of Jesus, I think is rest. Have we done it? Oh, yes, have we done it? All right, it's the you. Yes, it's. I was going to finish it. No, I was going to finish it first, 14, 15, 16. Let's look at the next. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Just want you to picture angels holding you up. We can't really imagine it, but that's what... Why do they hold us up? What's making them do it? What does it say just before that? End of verse 10. Sorry, beginning at verse 11. Yeah, who's in charge of the angels? God. And what's he going to tell him to do for you and me when we're in trouble? Lift us up. I wonder if you've ever felt so bothered, so cast down, that you almost want to lay down. You can't hardly stand up. I've felt that at times. I'm sure other people here have. But he will lift you up. Now, Steve, how would you lift someone up? You're not an angel, but you're a big guy. How would you lift someone up? Say, if Heidi fell flat on her face, how would you lift her up? Yeah. Well, there's lots of ways, isn't there? My dad used to give me piggybacks to bed, so that's a way to carry, isn't it? But that doesn't give an idea. It is lifting, but what other ways do you lift people? What do you do, Gary, when you lift up the children? How do you get... Yeah, under the arms, and you lift them up, and usually over the shoulder. What's the other way? Babies. You wouldn't do that to a baby necessarily, lifted up under the arms. Cradling. Lots of ways of being lifted, isn't there? I would like that. I think I'd like to be lifted up like a baby if I was in need of angelic help. But isn't it amazing? God orders them to do it. That's what they're there for. I think we sometimes think angels are beyond us. We're told no, they're there for us. And all because of God's mighty love for us. And the last one will be, verse 12 is familiar. Who, it's quite a hard question perhaps, or not if you know your scriptures. Who spoke those words to Jesus about not being injured by a stone? Get your memories going. It's... Put your hand up if you're suggesting things. Yes, Doreen? It was. Well done, Doreen. It was the third one. And where was Jesus on the third one? He was on the highest point of the temple, and Satan wanted Jesus to worship him. And he was promising him everything. And on this highest point of the temple, he said, "You can just jump off because God has said you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." But why? Because the angels will come and lift him up. But Jesus wasn't going to fall for that. He answered back another scripture, and then he ended by saying, "We should be worshipping God alone. We don't worship anything else but God alone," which tells us God should be number one important in our lives. And very often, my day is so busy and I'm so distracted, he is not the focus of my day. And yet, he should be. He should be. He should always be there, like the light around us. We should be thinking of him in whatever we're doing, thanking him or asking for his help or whatever. In contact all the time. And in our next psalm, we'll carry on more with that. So I think it's right, we're doing the song now.
Yes.
No, we're not. We're 14 to 16. Yes, just that last bit. So he's going to rescue those who love him, protect those who trust in his name. When we call out, he will answer. He will be with us in trouble. He's already there before we've got into that place of trouble. And he will rescue and honor us and reward them with a long life and his salvation. Who thinks those are pretty amazing promises? Yeah, they are amazing. I think this was entitled Thankfulness. When we focus on all these precious promises, it should give us a thankful heart. Now I think it's a ministry song from the music group. So you stay seated. We'll do some singing in after that, if you think I've sat long enough. And it's the music group, and Heidi will be dancing. So stay seated. Please relax and receive a blessing. I'm going to sit down for a minute over there so I can see it. We're going to sing God is Good, 1, 3, 2. They're short, so we're singing them twice. And 1, 6, 4, He is Exalted. And that too we will sing twice. Let us pray. These prayers of intercession are based on Psalm 91. We pray for those who feel ensnared by the cares of the world, unable to break free of the nets cast by their enemies, victims of illnesses or persecutions. Cover them with your feathers and give them refuge under your wings. Lift them in your hands, O Lord. Guard them in all their ways. We pray for those trying to make or keep peace, leaders of nations and soldiers in foreign wars, who fear the arrows that fly by day and the terrors of night, and see thousands slaughtered close by. Our thoughts and prayers are with the people of Ukraine as the conflict with Russia continues. We also pray for the many charities and aid agencies seeking to help Ukrainians who have had to flee. Bring them your comfort and peace, Lord. Lift them in your hands, O Lord. Guard them in all their ways. We pray for those who love you, Lord, and acknowledge your name, those who need protection from persecution, those whose faith needs fanning brighter as they call on your name. Be with them in trouble. Deliver and honor them with your salvation. Sustain our Christian brothers and sisters living in countries where it is dangerous to openly worship you. We think especially of Christians in Afghanistan, North Korea, and Somalia, the top three countries on Open Doors World Watch List, where following Jesus costs the most. Lift them in your hands, O Lord. Protect them in all their ways. We make you our dwelling place, O Lord Most High. Command your angels to lift us in their hands, that we may not strike our feet against any stones. Be with us in times of trouble and protect us from the evil one. Lift us in your hands, O Lord. Guard us in all your ways. We will now have a time of open prayer for you to pray out loud or in your hearts about things which are concerning you. Amen.
Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, as we pray for the members of our family, that you will bring to them an understanding of who you are and the truth of what the Bible teaches. Lord, we ask that you would intervene in the stronghold the devil sometimes gets over members of our family. And I want to thank you that this last week, has got to school every day, although not always on time. So Lord, that's an improvement, and thank you for answered prayer from last week for that. Amen.
Amen. The Sabbath blessing from Lectio 365. May this day bring Sabbath rest to my heart and my home. May God's image in me be restored, and my imagination in God be restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened, and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed me and his spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Amen.
Psalm 92, New Living Translation. A psalm, a song to be sung on the Sabbath day. Sorry.
Can you sing
it? No. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre.
You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds, and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever.
But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of all my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents.
But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Thanks be to God.
We're going to sing two songs, 197, I Am a New Creation, and 206, I Delight Greatly in My God. Please stand. Delight greatly in my God. I'll have to look at this one. And there's a lot of words up there.
I can't see it because it goes small.
And pray. I know you've listened to a lot, but I'm going to speedily go through Psalm 92. So when do we praise? Morning and evening. If we could go back to some of the slides and they'll just look when it seems relevant. Then we will feel the benefits of God and his blessing. And we're meant to praise. If you can't sing, speak. And if you can't play any instruments, because some of them were mentioned, clap hands, which is what we've been doing today. Thank you to Sheila for giving the instruments. So I was filled with praise, just filled with it. It was like something gushing out of me when I knew Freya had gone to school. She was up and in her uniform and in the car with her mother on time. That was one day. And it just thrills you. When you get an answer to prayer, it's like, whoosh, praise just kind of, you say, thank you, God. Thank you so much, God. And like Barbara's expressing about Paul, thank you. He's not ill. He's in good health. Her prayers were answered. So it makes it easy. It's like whooshing out of you when you do get an answer to prayer like that. But we're supposed to do it before the answer to prayer. We're supposed to do it because God will be holding on to the... He knows the desires of our heart. It says that somewhere else. He knows our needs before we even express them, which is amazing. So answer prayer makes it easy to break out into praise. We connect with God through the Holy Spirit, and all we have to do is spend some time focusing. 5-10 minutes will do you good, will do us good. Just stop what you're doing and focus. You can be outside, you can be inside. Just find a space where you just stop and spend 5 or 10 minutes. It will pay dividends. It's good for us. And do you think God likes to hear our praises? Do we like to hear our children saying nice things about us? We are his children. Let's delight his parent father's heart and tell him how amazing he is. Let's do it every day this week, and morning and evening. It's not hard to do. You don't have to spend 3 hours doing it. You can be doing other things while you're doing it. I love washing up because I praise God when I'm doing that by hand. So it benefits us. I want us to think about this, which we are familiar with, some of us. Let the words of my mouth, you say it now.
Let the words of my mouth.
And the meditation of my heart,
and the meditation of my heart.
Be acceptable.
In your sight, O Lord.
Be thrilled about the things God has done for you. Don't forget the amazing things he's done in the past as well as the present. And praise him when you're praying about something before it's happened. Praise him that it will happen because you've got that faith to, you know, like you're putting nutrients on your plants. You, as you're pouring, you know it's going to do them good. You know it's going to make them flourish. Expect good things from being a child of God, for we have an amazing Heavenly Father, as we were thinking about in the previous psalm. Even in difficult times, he will give us endurance and perseverance. I'm sure that a Ukraine, again, is a demonstration. They are enduring and they are persevering. In human circumstances, really. Remember the years that Joseph, the favourite son with the coat of many colours, he spent many years in prison in Egypt, but God had great plans for him. If you'd gone into that prison cell and said to Joseph, well, aren't you enjoying all that God's doing for you? He said, no, it's awful. But he was learning and being equipped for what was going to come next. And what was coming next? What did Joseph end up doing? He was in charge of everything in Egypt, in charge of the lot. And he'd learned it in that prison over those years of thinking, what happened to that dream of me being special? What happened to that, Lord? He must have asked that many times. But hopefully he was believing it still. Well, God gave me that dream. It's going to come true one day. And it jolly well did. Those brothers who treated him so abominably came and bowed down to him. And so God's plans sometimes take a little while coming to fruition, but it's worth the wait. So the wicked do flourish. That's verse 7. And every day the news can be depressing for us. But God ultimately is in charge, and one day the evildoers will face the living God. And without their repentance, before they get to that point, they will face eternal punishment for their evil deeds. How blessed are we to be in God's family and receiving his forgiveness and eternal life forever when we go to be with him. God is still on his throne, verse 8, in the heavenly realms. The apostle John, as many of us know, was taken up in the spirit, and he sees that throne in heaven, and the one sitting on it was as brilliant as gemstones, and the glow of emeralds circled around his throne like a rainbow. One day we will see it. One day I'm going to see that greenish rainbow. It's hard to imagine. So in my version, verse 10 I'm focusing on now, Carolyn Ainsworth, she's called now, but Carolyn Lake, has suffered many, many decades with ME. And she phoned me up, I think it's just a couple of years ago now, might have even been only 1 year ago. She said, Glenys, please pray for me, please help me, I'm just absolutely weak. And she was very depressed. And I said, I'll pray for a verse for you. And the verse God gave me was that verse 10. In my version, it says, you have made me as strong as a wild bull. You imagine that, being pretty strong and fearsome. How refreshed am I by your power? Now, I shared that with Carolyn, and when I told us we were doing Psalm 92, she said, oh, that's my psalm, that's my psalm. Because within quite a short space of time, she kept saying that constantly, day by day. She was strong again, and she has been strong for a few years now. Out of weakness and hardly being able to move, she got her energy back. She even goes on airplanes these days, which she was terrified to do before. So make God your refuge at all times, and his precious promises of protection are activated. Also remember, in the time of Pharaoh Moses, the Egyptians suffered 10 plagues. But what happened to the people that God was going to set free? All the Egyptians were suffering with these plagues, but what about God's chosen people as they were going to become? Totally protected. Nothing happened there. They didn't have any of those plagues. And that was just the grace of God. There was nothing special about those people. And verse 11 talks of God ordering his angels, as we've looked at before, who hold us and protect us, along with the blood on the doorposts. That's what the slaves had to do. Moses told them, put blood on their doorposts, as we know. And then the angel of death passed over Egypt, but they were all totally protected. No one died in the area where they were. So we need to be obedient to anything God tells us to do. And he will do his part. He will bring to fruition his plans for us. And if life can be tough at times, which I know it can be, just have faith in better times to come. Don't be drawn into Satan's tricks and deceits. He loves to get us low and feeling bad. Towards the end, 12 to 15, it says, we will flourish like palm trees. These are known for their long life. We should stand tall and live long like palm trees. The cedars of Lebanon grow to 120 feet, sorry to make it feet, but I can't convert it, and 30 feet in circumference. I remember once being in a wood that had been bought many, many years before by someone who was very wealthy as a reserve for the local people and all Americans who visited there. It was a beautiful area, and he bought it, spent his money on it, to make it like a nature reserve. And there was this, they're huge redwoods, aren't they? You go like that, you can't see the top of them, they're so big. And in this particular one, everyone was having their photo taken at it, because in the middle, they'd cut it out so the stagecoach could go through it when the road was wanting to go through that area. They let the stagecoach go through. And people were standing in the middle like this with the, you know, and plenty of trees aside, and it wasn't damaged. The roots were still fine. But they're enormous things, enormous. Even in old age, in verse 14, we will produce spiritual fruit for God. Mature believers should be rejuvenated by the word of God and by our praises to our God and our service to God. And I'm sure that lots of good things were being said about the visits to the vintage groups on the prayer time. And even the staff are coming to hear what our group is doing in those places. So there is fruitfulness from their labours. Nothing we do in God's name will be fruitless. So we can remember in verse 15, God is our rock and it will never be moved. Jesus will never be moved. He is the rock. We can stand firm on him and his word, but we must believe it and receive it. So let's say that. I believe it and receive it. Amen. Your turn. I believe it and receive it. Amen. We're going to sing. Sorry, I've made so many changes to the order of service, I'm getting in the muddle myself. Aren't we having those words, Sue? Yes. Yeah, God tells me things, but he doesn't tell it all to me right at the beginning. And he laid this on my heart so much. This is the chorus from 895 Songs of Fellowship, but we're not singing it. So it's just I wanted us to say the words that come in the chorus. I'll say the first verse because you haven't got it up, and then the second one is there. Oh, have you got it all up? Yeah. So do you want to say it all? Let's say it all. Yeah. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, ready? Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. When God puts his love on us, we are invincible. We cannot fail. We will do what he wants us to do. Should we do I'm Building a People of Power? That's not your last one, is it? It is your last one. Right, so the blessing. Let's have a blessing. Lord, we've been blessed with your heart, with your word. We have blessed with your precious promises. Lord, we are blown away by all that you have gone before us and prepared before we ever knew you. You had our lives on your heart, in your mind, and planned a route that if we follow, if we stay close to you, we will have you as a refuge. We will have you like armor around us, protecting us. We will endure and have a strong, positive, fruitful life, like the palm tree and those powerful, huge trees in Lebanon. Lord, let us do in our lives and each day everything that you proposed for us to do. Let us check in with you each morning and give you thanks and praise and ask for your guidance. And let us finish every day with huge thank yous for all that you've been with us through the day, all the power you have given us, all the ways you have helped us. So, Lord, may we know your wonderful, everlasting blessing. And one day we will stand in your kingdom and know the majesty and the amazing greatness of our God, our Father in heaven. Amen. So we're going to finish with